Makes me nervous when these things don't work. There we go. I had a white screen where the sermon was supposed to be there. Can I share just a little story that has absolutely nothing to do with this sermon? Is that okay? I'm careful to do that, but last night, I tell you what, and we might have to make this a church outing maybe next year. We went to the Night of Destruction. That sounds like a church outing, doesn't it? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, so you guys know. Holy cow, that was our first time out there doing that. I went to the Speedway. It's Lawrenceburg Speedway, and instead of races on Night of Destruction, they have bus races. Buses race. They have a minivan derby, a soccer mom derby type thing where it's like musical chairs, but with vans, with minivans, and they take away a parking space every time they do something. So they're all rushing to try and park in these parking spaces. And then they had the actual demolition derby with the minivans. They had a rollover contest. They put a ramp up there, and these guys got in these cars that they got from the junkyard, and they drove to see how many times they could flip the car. So when we get there, I'm excited to share this with my boys. I've got two boys, and so I'm expecting the place to smell like exhaust fumes and beer. When we sat down, it was just a packed house last night, and I was met with BO. And I tell you, I've never prayed for beer more in my life. God, please bring beer. And I shouldn't have prayed that, because the guys sitting in front of us, they got three bags of beer during their time there, and each bag had like a six pack of beer in it. So, but I still couldn't smell it. It still wasn't covering the BO. So if you ever see me at Lawrenceburg Speedway and I got a beer in my hand, I bought it just to smell it. Just to keep the BO down, Oh man. Some lady just down from, or actually upwind from us, she started vaping, and her vape, it smelled like cotton candy. And I was like, praise God for the vapor, And then I realized I'm breathing air that she just breathed out. That's kind of, I don't like to eat or drink after people. So that was like, weirded me out a little bit. Sure, my kids were breathing smoke, but man, oh man, whoo. Anyway, so yeah, it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. So that has absolutely nothing to do with anything aside from, if you see me with a beer at Lawrenceburg Speedway, just watch closely. I'm probably sniffing it, not drinking it. So, all right. So core values, the foundational beliefs of an organization, the guiding principles, the guardrails, the lines, like lines on a field. They show the boundaries. They show what's in bounds. They show what's out of bounds. They mark the bases. They show where the end zone is, and they even show you how close you are to a touchdown or how far away you are. And there we go. There we go. I'm having technical difficulties today. If you see a thriving organization, then they have clearly defined values, core values, and they have supported core values. You'll see that in every thriving organization, successful organization, and the opposite is also true. If you see an organization that does not have clearly defined or clearly supported core values, they will struggle to survive. Over a year ago, we started on a church journey called Renewing the Focus, and our journey here is to better position ourselves as a church, to be the church that God wants us to be here in Miami Town. And we've had a lot of people involved in various teams and a lot of effort. And the latest installment of this is that the leadership team was to take all the data, all the things that these hardworking teams put together, and to put together a mission statement, and then to build a core values out of that mission statement. Next week, and I don't want to build it, it's only six words, so I don't want to build it up too much, but it is very exciting. It's very clear, it's very concise, it's something we can grab a hold of and latch to, it's something you can remember. And next Sunday is our mission statement. And so leading up to next Sunday, leading up to the first weekend in August, we've been spending the month of July looking at our core values. And as I shared through this process, we talked about how, like, the Ten Commandments, they're divided into two halves. The first half deals with our relationship with God. The second half deals with our relationship with people, with others. And just like Jesus in the New Testament, when he gave his top two, He said, love God and love others. So there was, so we've modeled, not intentionally, but after we looked at them, and we modeled our five core values after this same split. Relationship with God. The first two core values deal with our relationship with God. The last two deal with our relationship with others, and the one in the middle is a bridge. Bridges them all together. So core value number one, to review, God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. Core value number two, devoted to God, a full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. Those two are the foundation for why we do what we do. We talked about how those are the why core values. Why do we do what we do? Why do we have the attitude we have? Why do we have a certain point of view? Why do we, what forms our worldview? Why do we have that? Why do we look at people the way we do? Why do we operate the way we do inside? It's because God is first. And following him is the priority. That's why we're going to live and act the way we do as a church. Why do we do this? Because we are devoted to God. We are devoted to God with a full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. Core value number three bridges the first section to the second section. And it's a what. It's a what we do. Core value number three says growing God's kingdom. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to be about doing. Growing God's kingdom. That is increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. This is what we do. Here's why we do it. We do it because God is first. We do it because we're devoted to God. God wants his kingdom to grow. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to be about. What are we going to do? We're going to grow God's kingdom. That's what. Well, how are we going? What are we going to do there? We're going to increase the number of devoted followers of Christ. We're going to develop them. That's what we are going to do. And we're committed to that because God is first. And we are devoted to him. So this transitions us to our last two, the how core values. So we've got why, what, and how. Our last two core values. How are we going to accomplish this? How are we going to go about this? The first two are about a relationship to God. The last two are about a relationship to others. So core value number four, we talked about last week, actively investing. That's taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. Taking personal responsibility, because following God is the priority in our life. And we're devoted to him. And we're going to do whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. We're going to do whatever it takes to grow his kingdom. And that means being actively involved. We're going to do what it takes. We're going to go to whatever measure it takes because we're devoted to God in a way that we completely abandon ourselves. So it makes it really simple in theory that if we completely abandon ourselves, then we will do whatever it takes because there won't be any inhibitions. We won't have anything holding us back because we've already given ourselves to God and we're already devoted to God fully dependent on him. And our last core value is the second how core value, and our second core value that deals with our relationship with others. And that is core value number five, and that is what today is about. It is connecting with people. Building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. So how are we going to grow God's kingdom? We're going to connect with other people. We're going to connect with people. Let's write this down. We connect both within the church and we connect with those, with others outside of the church. We connect both within the church and we connect with others outside the church. This core value is for everyone, but it's really easy to kind of break it down into these two categories because we kind of act and respond a little differently towards these two different categories in the way we act with this idea of connecting with people. We connect inside the church, and this is very fellowship oriented. This is unity of the body type of a statement. This is pastoral care and caring for each other and encouraging each other, lifting each other up. That's how we connect inside the church, but we also connect outside the church, and that's very evangelical in its purpose. It's very outreach oriented. You're developing relationships in order to take this gospel to them, to grow God's kingdom. Why? Because God is first, because we are devoted to God. They all fit together. So we connect to those both within the church and those outside the church. We don't just connect with those inside the church and ignore those outside. We can't read this statement, this core value, and say, okay, connecting with others, I'm doing a great job because I'm feeling real warm and fuzzy here with my church family. That's half of it. Okay, and it can't just be all evangelical either. If you're not connecting with people here, that needs to happen. That's why the church is here. That's why we gather together, to connect and strengthen and encourage and support and to serve one another. Countless scriptures that talk about that. And the picture of the church in the New Testament is just that picture. So we are connecting within, and we're connecting without. We're connecting outward. An outward connection as well. We can't have one without the other. Both have to happen. I've shared through the series that our core values are extremely scriptural. That each core value has multiple scriptures attached to it. You've got those in your bulletin for this one. Up at the top of your bulletin, I'll probably be referring to most of those today. But in addition to having a lot of scriptures, we wanted to keep it simple and to have one key scripture that went with each core value. The first four were pretty easy to find a key value for. This one was a little difficult to find a key scripture for. This one was a little more difficult, partly because of that little threesome part at the end there. Building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. That's tough to find one verse that has all three of those. And we all know that those three methods are throughout the New Testament. But we've got compassion, service, and support. So here's the key verse. The closest one we could grab for this. And it is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. It starts off by saying, the end of all things is near. See, there was a sense of urgency present in the first century church. They had the same motivation that we have through the first two core values that we've talked about. They had those same motivations for themselves, that that God was most important to him, that he was number one, he was the priority. That was very clear in the first church. The first church, the people in the first church that were getting it, that was a priority for them. That was a core value. And they devoted themselves to God above all else. Above all else. It was a full dependence on him and a complete abandonment. They had that same core value that we've spoken of in here and that we've set aside for our church as well. They wanted what God wanted. They knew that God wanted his kingdom to grow. And that's what they were committed to. And so they did so with a sense of urgency. We don't know how long God will wait. It's easy for us to get a little more laid back. Because it's been what, 2,000 years and then some. So it's easy for us to lose that sense of urgency that they had in the first century. See, in the first century, all they knew was, here's the saving gospel of Jesus. We are living in a sin-sick world that's dying because of sin. And Jesus is coming back. Man, we got to get busy. And so you see the sense of urgency. The end of all things is near. You see that through the New Testament. And we sit back 2,000 years later and we're like, maybe it's not so near. Maybe it's not such an urgent matter. Or maybe we don't need... No. We need to bust it with the same sense of urgency that they did. Because we have the same elements there. We have the same facts, the same truths. We have the saving gospel of Jesus that we carry in us, as I talked about last week, as jars of clay. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have the saving gospel message of Jesus. We live in a sin-sick world that is dying. And it will not live without the gospel of Jesus reaching their hearts. And we know Jesus will be back someday. We live with those same truths, so we should live with the same urgency. The end of all things is near. And so they acted on it. We should act on it as well. And so Peter continues. He says, therefore, since we have this sense of urgency, since we have this, it's so very important what we have. Be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray of a clear mind. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's write this down. Building real relationships is done through intentional effort. It doesn't just happen. Sometimes you'll happen about that, but really, if we're going to build real relationships, you have to put effort into it. It's intentional effort and personal transparency. Being real. You're not going to build real relationships being a fake or keeping things, you know, putting a face on and thinking, well, I'm going to be this because this is what they probably want to see. Just be you. No one else can be you. You just be the best you can be. And that's going to communicate. That's going to connect with other people. So in church, here among each other, within, we love each other. There's a good level of vulnerability when that happens. And I think that's why people get so hurt so easily in church. Because the goal here is to let the guard down. And to be able to trust and to be able to open ourselves up and to be able to love. But that's not easy, because we live in a world where you keep your guard up. And even if it's not up, you still got your hands close. We just need vulnerability, and that means love, and that means we're going to get hurt sometimes. And that's not fun. We've all been on the receiving end of that, but I tell you, that we're doing it right if we're living with that kind of vulnerability to love. Peter makes it very clear. He doesn't just leave it at love. He says, love what? Do you remember what was up there? Deeply. To love deeply. Peter doesn't want this to go misunderstood or overlooked. It's not just to love. He wants us to love deeply, love each other deeply. That's how we are to love each other. That's a big deal. We're to offer hospitality. In the first church, this was most likely a reference to them opening their house, because in that time they had home churches, and that's where they gathered for their connecting time to connect with each other. And so this idea of offering hospitality, when you see it as a requirement for elders, that is most likely connected to this idea of home churches. And you see in the modern church, we have the push and the effort of moving to small groups and getting small groups going. That's the effort of getting back to what the first church did and having these home churches, these house churches, where you could have this intimacy, this connection. You could love each other deeply in this idea of hospitality. But it doesn't just exist in just one thing. I mean, hospitality is kind of a big deal. It's broad. We offer hospitality every week when we have greeters at the doors. When we offer a coffee bar downstairs. In fact, if you look in the schedule, those ministries are labeled hospitality ministries. They have a little tab all to themselves. Hospitality ministries. To warmly welcome those who normally come to church, our frequent attenders, and those who are guests here, and all those in between. And so that's hospitality. Which brings up a subject for me. When I go to Home Depot, and who's back there? Jim, if you can just don't jump ahead of me on these, so I'll get you to follow me. So when I go to Home Depot, I'd take this picture at night because I didn't want to get any people's license plates. Oh, no, you're good. Where were you? There we go. All right, so when I go to Home Depot, I don't park in this parking space. And the next slide will zoom in on this, and you'll see that this is, have you guys ever seen this sign? I know you guys go to Home Depot there in Harrison, okay. So does anybody know what DAV means? There we go, okay. Disabled American Veterans and Veterans. So if you're disabled or not, this parking place is for you. Thank you for your service. I don't park in that parking space. I don't know if you do or not. I wouldn't imagine, as patriotic as we are here at our church, that no one would park there. Unless, of course, we do have veterans here. And I think even a lot of veterans wouldn't park there because they know it's for disabled first. And so that's just, I don't do it. Why? Because I honor the men and women who have served our country, who are disabled either because of that or because they have aged and they're still a veteran. They served our country and I honor them. And I don't park in their parking space. So let me show you a different parking lot. This one should be pretty familiar to you. This is our parking lot. Oh. So let me look at, let me see the next slide. Let's see what this next one is here. What does that say? Guest. Okay. Hospitality. Offer hospitality. And I don't know who's there. I'm not out there. I almost wanted to shoulder tap people and say, hey, you might not want to park here this Sunday. So no one's looking at you when you get in your car. So I'm not trying to pick on anybody. But if we have a guest that comes in here and they pull in and they see guests and they see cars, they're going to think, wow, they got a lot of guests here today. We know that's not the truth, is it? Okay. Offer hospitality. Don't park in the guest parking. I don't park in veterans parking. Why? Because I respect them. Because I value them. Because I want to honor them. Don't we want to honor guests that want to come to our church? Don't we want to respect them? Don't we want to roll out the red carpet? I mean, we don't want to treat them with kid gloves because I want you to come in and get to work. I'm not going to win you easy. Jesus didn't win them easy. But there's this element of hospitality that needs to be a part of that, to be welcoming. And then this other one, this other one's very confusing. Okay, so that was zoomed in. Next one. So this one, this is going to zoom in on that one. What is that? It's a stork. Okay, so if you're a stork and you're driving a car, then you can park there. Yeah, you got to be... Gonna be carrying a baby. Okay, so we just stepped into like the realm of Roger Rabbit or something. We got some animated character driving to church. Now, we all know what that is. That's for a family with children, with young children. That's for a guest or a member of our own church here. Those were planned. They were strategically placed where they are because it's one of the only places in our parking lot where we can have kids where they won't have to walk across the parking lot. We were looking at it for safety. We put it there so they could kind of walk around the edge and they'd be a little safer than walking across a parking lot. We put them downstairs and not up here. Why do we put them downstairs? Anybody? What? Because everything's down. The nursery's downstairs. The children's Sunday schools are downstairs. The children's check-in are downstairs. And or at least they come in through there. They might go up, but when we were really working at getting security and safety here at our church, we wanted to have one place where the kids funneled in and one place where they funneled out. And so that was downstairs. And so we want to honor those mothers and fathers of young children. When you got a mom that's coming to church by herself, either dad's at work or maybe dad doesn't want to come to church, and she's got a couple kids and she's trying to keep them together. Guys, we've been there before. You know, if we have a guest with young children, just what I was talking about last week, kind of our area has got a lot of those in it according to our demographics. And they come to our church. I want, and I hope that you would want this, I want them to have to sit there between those two parking places and say, well, do I park in guest or do I park in stork? Because they're all open. Or at least a few of them are open because hopefully we've got some other guests and other, you know, mothers and fathers that have young children here. I don't want them parking three rows over and walking their three kids across a busy parking lot for their first Sunday here to enter through the front doors to find out that they need to take their kids all the way downstairs to get them checked into their areas down there. I don't want that. We don't want that. Offer hospitality. I should have brought my Dove box there for a few minutes. The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So to recap that passage, our mission is urgent. We should be of clear thinking, sober mind. We should love one another deeply. We should offer hospitality. And we should use whatever gift we've been given to serve each other, to serve others. And this is both inside the church and outside of the church. So let's break down these three little pieces here of the of this core value. So we've got the idea that we've got connecting with people. That means building real relationships. And we've got a little threesome here at the end. Through compassion, through service, and through support. So let's look at these individually. So let's look at the first one, compassion. Let's write this down. Compassion is a heartfelt concern for others that leads to action. Jesus had compassion. In Matthew chapter 9, the reference is there in your bulletin. I'm going to let you keep writing that down. This is not going to be on the screen. Let me read to you what happened when Jesus was here on earth. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We know that Jesus had a heartfelt concern, a compassion for people. If you look up at the definition for compassion, it's just being sympathetic or having pity, feeling bad for someone who's in a bad situation or who's underwent some sort of misfortune or they're in bad shape for some reason. And that's what you'll see in just any regular dictionary. For us as Christians, our definition of compassion is a little bit different. Jesus never leaves compassion and acts unlinked in his life. We never see that unlinked in the New Testament. So our definition of compassion is not what you'll read in a dictionary. Our definition of compassion has action attached to it. Every time Jesus went somewhere, he had compassion on them and he acted. He had compassion on them and he did something. In the passage I just read to you, it was kind of reverse order. Here's what he did. He was going from town to town. He was healing every disease and he was caring for these people. And he did so, why? Because he had compassion for them. He had a heartfelt, you know, and I know a lot of us have compassion. It can't just stop there, church. It has to be a heartfelt concern for others that results in action. It results in us doing something because that's what our Savior did. That's what our Lord did. That's how Jesus acted when he was here on earth. His compassion was always followed with action. They were always connected. And so as his church, as people who bear his name, Christians, we too should live that way. Paul says in Colossians, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with what? Compassion, kindness. We're going to talk about humility in a few minutes, but compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then a few verses down in verse 14, he says, over all these virtues, so the virtue of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So compassion, kindness, and above all these virtues is love. Those are the qualities of someone who puts God first. That following God is the priority. Those are virtues. Those are qualities that belong to someone who is devoted to God, who has fully given themselves, they're fully dependent on God and completely abandoned themselves. A week and a half ago, I went over to Barb's daughter-in-law's funeral. Stepdaughter. Okay, I gotcha. Okay, I had the wrong family. So some of these trees for me and all of you, and I do my best to be a shepherd, but oh, there's a lot to keep up with. But I went to the viewing to visit with Barb and to give her a hug and let her know we care and whatnot. And when I got there, I was looking around the room for Barb. And I caught the Rolfuses. I caught Ozzie and Sharon. And I caught the churches and they waved at me, and I said, "Where's Barb?" And they pointed her out, and so I went to go see her first. And I'm pretty sure they understood that, you know, I was there for her, and I saw Joy and Beard and Ken. They were there, and you know, it's just nice. And I went back after a visit with Barb for a little bit. Then I went back and I said howdy to our church people. And I said, you know, it's so nice to see you guys be in the church. I mean, the churches are being the church, but, you know, you're always the church. The church is Rod and Shirley Church. Yeah, okay. So, so anyway, I need a gym on that one. Yeah, I need a rim shot there. But yeah, I shared with them. I said, it's always nice to see the church be in the church. It's so nice to see us reaching out and loving each other and having compassion for each other and that heartfelt concern, not just being, you know, a feeling or that they were there. They did something. They drove out there to be there for Barb. And I guarantee you, Barb will remember that. In fact, look where she's sitting. Okay? Connect with people. That's what we're going to do. We're doing it. We're going to be more focused on doing that. We're going to be more intentional about doing that. Connecting with people. And that involves compassion. A heartfelt concern that leads us to action. Later in Matthew's gospel, in chapter 25, Jesus talks about what the judgment day is going to look like. And it's going to be like a shepherd who's separating his sheep from his goats. And the sheep, they're the ones who acted out in love the way that God expects us to act out in love. They saw people in need, and they helped them. That's what they did. That's more outside. That's outreach. That's caring for those outside. We have compassion and pastoral care on the inside. We also have compassion for those on the outside. These guys, they didn't realize that Jesus took it so personally. What they did was that they simply just did what Jesus did. They had compassion. None of those acts, they saw someone that was thirsty and they gave him something to drink. It started with compassion and it led to action. And that's Jesus' definition of compassion, not Merriam-Webster. They saw someone that was hungry and they gave him something to eat. Why? Because they had a heartfelt concern and that led them to action. They saw someone who was down and out, who had experienced misfortune, who had gone through rough times, and who was lonely. And they reached out to them. They didn't just see someone in that condition or that circumstance, that situation, and just, oh, I feel so bad for them. Because that's Merriam-Webster's definition of compassion. But Jesus' definition, the church, and how we're going to live this out, is that compassion is always attached to action. They saw people who had misfortune, and they reached out to them. And Jesus commended them. And they serve those in need, which brings us to our next word. We have connecting with people, building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. So service is our second word there. Service is a humble desire to give yourself to others. At the Last Supper, Jesus stood up from the meal. He took off his outer garments and he wrapped a towel around him. And what he did... We don't have this really in parentheses. You might have it in a study Bible or something. But for them, they would have recognized that to the audience that John was writing to when he recorded this scene. Everyone reading that would have understood. Jesus is taking on the appearance of a house servant. Not someone who was there in great honor, which it was an honor to share the Passover meal with Jesus a third time as his disciples, and little did they know this was the last time they would share until we get to share that fourth cup with Jesus all together. But Jesus stepped up from the meal, he took off his outer garment, he put a towel around him, and he washed their feet. He took a bucket of water, and he washed their feet, and he dried their feet with the towel. And they had issues with this. Peter himself, he spoke up and he's like, oh, no way. You can't do this. And Jesus insisted on it. Verse 12 says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your teacher, or your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." In the passage we read earlier from 1 Peter, Peter tells us to use whatever gift we've been given to serve others. Paul says in Galatians, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Service is a humble action. In Romans chapter 15, this passage is in your bulletin there. If you read through that whole passage, those eight verses that I've listed in your bulletin, you'll see that Paul connects serving with accepting people. That when you serve someone, it shows acceptance. He goes from one subject to the other, and he connects them together in a way. As you're reading through, you might see them as two subjects. But it's clear that Paul's, here's service and here's acceptance, and these two are linked. And we know it to be true just in basic living. Because sometimes you can find the one side to be true by understanding the opposite side. Because when we're not served, you know, we feel rejected, don't we? When we ask someone, "Hey, would you do this for me?" "No. Thought I meant something to you. You know, would you do this? Or could you help me out? I need a hand. Sorry, I can't. Sorry, I won't." You feel rejected. And that lack of service works in a negative. Paul, in Romans 15, is showing us the positive side of that. You serve others. You serve others just the way Jesus served us, the way he taught us. We live that way with that heart. We treat people that way, and it equals acceptance. We accept people by serving them. It's kind of coming around the sneaky way of accepting someone. You serve them, and they feel valued. They feel important. They feel accepted, and that's a big deal. So service. This part of your Sunday is also going to change as we continue to develop and move in a positive direction. It's going to change so that you will be coming in with an expectation. If you don't already, but if you do, you can turn that up even more so I can preach to all of you on this subject. You'll be coming in with an expectation to be equipped to better serve. Ephesians chapter 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. He gave these people with these gifts to the church to equip his body, his people, for works of service. That's what this time is supposed to be for. To equip his people for works of service. Everything here should be adding tools to the toolbox. Learning, taking things and saying, "Okay, I can use this. I'm going to use this." And you come intently listening for that. What am I going to pick up today from God's word that I can use, that I can put in my toolbox, that I can put to use for growing God's kingdom, to connect with other people, to actively invest in others' lives, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So our mindset coming into the sermons on Sunday, it will increase, it will change to this mindset that we will come to be equipped. Instead of coming to hear something interesting or to learn something, or to be inspired because whoever was speaking was good enough to inspire you. Let me challenge you to be more biblical with your listening on a Sunday morning. As I said, come with that goal to put a tool in your toolbox, to expecting to be equipped. Listening constantly and engaging, how can I apply what God's word is saying today? Because God's word is relevant. And if we're waiting to be wowed by a speaker, sometimes that doesn't happen. Do I hope that you hear something interesting on a Sunday morning? Absolutely. I put a lot of effort to make sure that the messages here are interesting, that they'll keep your attention. Do I hope that you learn something? If you've been a Christian for a year or for 50 years, I hope that I can learn you something on a Sunday morning. Yes, that's a goal of mine. Do I hope that some part of my delivery can inspire, can motivate, can kind of push you off the edge if you're ready to jump off the high dive? Faith-based deeds, as James would call them. Is that what I hope that I can inspire and motivate you to? Yes, yes, and yes. But that's all my side of things. I'm going to do what I can to bring that. This takes both of us to work. Preaching's not a solo thing. It's a team sport. Okay, if we're not coming, expecting to be equipped, just entering those doors, waking up a Sunday morning, all right, I'm going to grab something. I want to get something. Because sometimes whoever it is up here might not be very interesting. We have missionaries that come in and speak, and sometimes if you don't have a personal connection with them, those can be hard sermons to sit through because you're struggling to understand what they're saying. And you're like, I'm having a hard time connecting with this guy. I can't understand what he's saying, and you just kind of check out. But if you change this attitude and you say, you know what, I'm going to come, I'm going to be equipped, I'm going to engage, and if that person's not interesting, if their subject's not interesting, if they're not motivational, it doesn't matter. If they're preaching the truth from God's word, it is going to be equipping you. Amen? And that, I mean, yes, we're going to do our best to do our job up here. I'm not going to slack on that. I love this part of my job. But it doesn't just work one way. Okay, if we're going to turn things up here as a church, if we're going to throttle up, it's going to take all of us in this part of our service. According to Ephesians 4, and I love that passage, my gift, the gift of people in this position, whoever's speaking up here, their job is to equip the saints, equip God's people for works of service, so that the body may be built up into a mature, and a couple weeks ago, I was talking about the Jesus bobblehead. Yeah, you remember that? This is the passage it comes from, Ephesians 4. That we would grow up underneath the head. That this is the head. And he talks about this mature. Let me go back to that verse here so I can pick up that one little statement. Until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That the idea is for the body to become what the head looks like. And so that we're all there together. And that's what happens when we come expecting to be equipped. Connecting with people, building real relationships. And we're going to do that with compassion, and that compassion results in action. We're going to do that through serving, through humbly serving, through humbly giving ourselves to others. That's service. We're going to come in here on a Sunday morning, and we're going to expect to be equipped to serve, and then to go out and do it. And then support, our third word there, the final little piece here of our core value number five. Support is a helping act. Let's write this down. Support is a helping act that strengthens others through assistance and encouragement. Support is a helping act that strengthens others through assistance and encouragement. And this isn't going to be on the screen. The reference is right there in your bulletin. I want you to be able to write down these words. But Hebrews chapter 3 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but So the opposite of that, of having a sinful, deceiving heart that turns away from the living God, the opposite of that, he says, but encourage one another daily. As long as it is called today, as long as we have the day with us, as long as we are on this side of the judgment day, as long as we are on this side of heaven, encourage one another as often as you can. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We support each other. We encourage each other. We lift each other up, and that strengthens. That gives strength. We reach out. We reach outside of our walls to support those who can't support themselves, who struggle, who are going through a rough time, a rough season in their life. And we do that. We support them. And that's how we build relationships. We connect with them. We connect with each other. We connect with other people. So let's go back through these. Core value one. God is first in all things, following him is the priority. Core value number two, devoted to God, a full dependence on him, a complete abandonment of self. Core value number three, growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. Core value four, actively investing, taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. And then core value number five, connecting with people, building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. We connect with people within the church. We connect with people outside of the church through a real relationship that takes intentional effort. It takes personal transparency. We connect with them. We connect with them through service, or through compassion. And that's just a heartfelt concern that leads us to action. We connect with them through serving them, through service, through serving each other, through serving those outside. And that's a humble desire to give of yourself to others. And we connect with people. We build real relationships through supporting each other, through supporting each other in the church and through offering support to those outside the church. And that's a helping act that strengthens others through assistance and encouragement. And then next week, we get the new mission statement. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for guiding us, leading us as your church to the place that you would have us, to the church that you want us to be. It is an exciting time to be part of Miami Town Church of Christ, God, and I am so glad that those of us who are here, are here and able to be able to experience this and see this. Father, we thank you for the gospel of your Son, Jesus. That we would have an urgency on our hearts that Peter spoke of. That we would look at every day and say, you know what, the end is near. We got to get busy. Father, I hope I speak for every one of us here that we love you. That you are the priority, that we are devoted to you, that we lay our lives down. We completely abandon ourselves to follow you. I pray that you would put a burning desire in the hearts of this church to be growing your kingdom, to do so by actively involving themselves, and that we would connect with people. Thank you for leading us to these core values. Thank you for being with all the teams that have been involved with the process of renewing the focus so far. And with the leadership, as we've really been working hard to make sure that we're putting all this together and understanding your will and understanding all the different parts that have come our way. And we know that you are in it all, and you are above all, and you are the one giving wisdom and guidance. And that gives us even more confidence to be able to follow and look at these guardrails, these guiding principles, our core values of Miami Town Church of Christ. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.